Everybody ready? Are you sure? All right. That's right. It's coming whether you want to. That's exactly right.
Send it.
All right. Here we go. From rags to riches. You have a pencil and paper this morning. We're going to look at some things that I'm excited about, some things that I have learned. So I want to start with a question, and the question is, you know, as a believer, that when we leave from this life into the next, and then at the rapture, which the rapture will occur here, I receive my new body somewhere from here to here. Has everybody got that? I'm going to get a new body. Everybody understands? It is a glorified body, just like Christ. Now, the question that I have for you this morning is, what will we wear? And does anybody have, don't call it out if you know, but how many of you think you know what that is? All right. How many of you think you can prove it? It's in there. I'm going to show you. And then I'm going to show you about some undergarments. Now, I don't have time for all that this morning, but I think it's Psalms 45. The undergarments that we will have with our new body will be made out of pure gold. Pure gold. Payne, we'll talk about your undergarments. We're going to talk about something else. All right, Luke chapter 15, from rags to riches. No, this is not prosperity 101. This is much better than that. From rags to riches. In Luke chapter 15, everybody should have a pretty good handle on this is the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he gets a wild hair and he decides that he wants his inheritance. And he goes to his father and says, you know, I want my inheritance now. And the father gives it to him. And the boy goes out and he wastes his money and wastes his time and wastes his life on, the Bible says, riotous living. So he's out living it up, having fun, at least he thinks he is, and then he gets in a mess. He ends up where? In a pigsty, in a hog's pen. He's taking care of the hogs, and he finally comes to himself, and he says, you know, my dad's servant's living better than I am. I'm going to go back to my father, and at least he'll take me in as a servant. Well, when he gets there, I want you to look in Luke 15, and I want you to look in verse 22. Now, normally I would read all this, but I have a lot to go over this morning. So if you don't know these events, you should read Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. All right, in verse 22, and the father said to his servants, bring forth the what? The best robe. I want you to underline that in your Bible, because that's going to be part of these riches. This boy's going to get the best robe, the very best robe, and put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. So a couple of things about this that you need to note, and that was the robe came from the father. That's important. All right? This robe came from the father. It was the very best robe. This prodigal goes from rags to riches. Yes? Is that a stretch? It's not a stretch. That's easy. All right, Isaiah 61. Now, you want to write these down. If you have trouble keeping up, that's all right. Just write them down. You go back and look today, tomorrow, sometime this week. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Here we have a robe of righteousness for a bride. That's important. Now, Luke chapter 20. Now, this very best robe that I'm going to talk to you about this morning is not worn here. It's bought and paid for here, but it's worn hereafter. All right, Luke chapter 20. Now, here's something you better be careful of. All right, let's look in verse 45. It says, then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, of the chief rooms at the feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. There are the religious robes that lead to rags, not riches. These are religious. Lots of people are religious. They'll go to church. They'll say, oh, the good Lord. They hadn't talked to the Lord. They don't know the Lord. That's just talk. How many of you know people just like that? I know people just like that. Oh, well, the good Lord. Ask them one question. What are you depending on to get you to heaven? Just ask that question. Oh, well, I belong to such and such a church. That's not going to get you to heaven. Well, I've been baptized. That's not going to get you to heaven. Well, I help as many old people as I can help. That's not going to get you to heaven. Religion will get you rags, not riches. And you'll wear those garments. All right, Isaiah 64. And we're going to look, I know this is kind of a different Sunday morning service. I get it. But I believe it will be an encouragement. That is my desire. All right, Isaiah 64, verse 6. This is a verse you ought to memorize as well. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Any good thing that a man can do that he thinks is going to create and create favor with God, your goodness will never create favor with God. Never. The only thing that is going to grab God's attention, that is going to cause him to react, is if you and I will take Christ as our Savior. That's it. All our goodnesses, all our righteousnesses in God's eyes are what? Filthy rags. Now, I can go in this morning with what filthy rags are, but some of it may not be suitable for tender ears. But everybody in here understands what filthy is, right? If you don't, I explain it to you after the fact. But it's horrible. It's not just dirty. It's filthy. And that's what my righteousness is before I trusted Christ. That's how God looked at me. clothed in filthy rags. Now, we're going to go further. Let's go down and let's go to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. When Jesus Christ comes on off the cross, who goes and gets the body? Joseph of Arimathea. Very good. And when he goes and gets the body, look at verse 46. The Bible says, and he brought what? Fine linen. And took him down and wrapped him in the linen, laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. So when they took Jesus Christ off the cross, what did they wrap him in? Fine linen. Now, the first occurrence of fine linen in your Bible, you're going to find it with Joseph in Genesis chapter 41. And in verse 42, Joseph is the greatest type of Christ in the Old Testament. There are more particulars about Joseph's life that correlate to Jesus Christ than any other. Then you have the tabernacle. When God gives Moses the pattern for the tabernacle, where did God tell Moses to look to get it from? Oh, he said, look towards heaven where he took the pattern. So where did Moses see this picture of what that tabernacle was supposed to be like? Up there. And now he's going to build it. Now watch this. Tabernacle is a tent. Goes like this. And inside, this is called, well, I guess I should do it this way. This is the most holy. This is where the ark is. This is the veil. And then this is called the holy place. This is the outer court. This covering here, guess what's made out of? Fine linen. Aaron, guess what his robe was made out of? Fine linen. Anybody know what an ephod is? With the Urim and the Thummim?
Oh, stones. That 12 cherubim representing the family.
That's exactly right. Guess what this was made out of? Fine linen. And so when they went to get answers from God, guess what they approached to and asked those questions? To the ephod. And God spoke through that ephod. And all of that, in its beauty and answers, was a picture and really what happened in the tabernacle. Fine linen. See, why is that so important? Well, the ephod was like a vest.
Yeah.
So it had a hole in the top, and it hung down here, and it hung down in the back. Well, it was on both sides, and then it wrapped here. But it had stones. And they start asking questions. Them stones can talk and light up. I mean, it's all kind of. All right, Revelation chapter 19.
Do you mind me to make this?
For what? Oh, it's so you go from Exodus 25 all the way to Exodus 39. All right, Revelation chapter 19. And everybody hang in there with me this morning. I promise I'm going to get to a point. I may be going the long way around, but I'm going to prove to you what I'm saying. I'm not just saying stuff and then expect you to believe what I got to say. All right, Revelation 19, verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in what? Clean and white, for the fine linen is what? Of the saints. Now, when you take that, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Does everybody see? Fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's pretty simple. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right. Everybody ready? Put your seatbelts on. Here we go. Verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's somebody that dies. So understand that. That's what that means. If you and I were to die, and that's a believer. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So when a believer dies today, right? So he dies. His body goes to the ground. His soul and his spirit absent from the body, present with the Lord. But he has a down payment. It's been paid for. Of a new body. He gets that new body at the rapture somewhere from the ground to here. Now, where? I don't know. But that's where he gets it. So if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved and they die, we know that we have a building made by God, where? In the heavens. I'm going to get me a new body. If you're saved, this hunk of meat you live in is temporary. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me that it's dead. It just doesn't know it yet. All right, so now let's keep going. Verse 2. For in this we groan. So in this hunk of meat right now, we groan. Earnestly desiring, now watch how the words are, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from where? That's my new body. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found what? Now I want you to underline that word naked, because that's going to happen with back over here in Genesis. Because when Adam and Eve fall, what's the first thing they're worried about? Being naked. And the Lord said, who told you you was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Is that what it says? They was worried about that after the fall, not before. All right, so let's keep going. That's another point in a minute. Verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So all of this depends on what you are going to end up. Are you going to believe God or not? That's where this ends. Verse 8, we are confident. I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Drop all the way down to verse 21. For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Watch careful, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
So here's the guy, and he's clothed in the filthy rags of sin. That's what he is. In God's eyes, he is filthy. Without hope, without God in this world. Why? Because he has rejected Christ up to this point. When he goes, you know, I can't do this on my own. All my righteousness in God's eyes are as filthy rags. That's how God looks at it. And he goes, well, what am I going to do? That is what Jonathan Edwards preached when he preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. If you and it's online, it's free. It's about 7 or 8 pages. The old man read it. But his whole point in the beginning of that sermon was, you are filthy. And in the middle of the service, he had deacons. Now, back then, you know, they had the pulpits way up high. And in back here were all the deacons and the elders. And they're crying. When Jonathan Edwards is reading this sermon, these guys behind him are going, Brother Edwards, give us some hope. Brother Edwards, help us. Brother Edwards, say it's not so. That's the deacons and the elders. And while he's reading this sermon, before the invitation, if they didn't even give invitations back then, before that, they're coming crawling down an altar. Oh, God, help, help, help. That's what they're crying. Why? Because they realize, you know what's not being done today in America? Nobody wants to preach there. They're scared to death. Why? Because they're going to tiptoe through the tithers. Oh, we're going to make somebody mad. Oh, we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, you know, is it better to hurt their feelings and then get saved? Or is it better to just not offend them and let them die and go to hell? You can choose. I choose giving the truth. I don't want to offend them on purpose. Well, maybe sometimes. That's a joke. All right, now watch. This guy, he realizes he's lost, and he receives Christ as his Savior, and all of his sin and his debt goes on to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives him all of his righteousness. This happens at Calvary. The Holy Spirit then baptizes him into the body of Christ here. He has a down payment on a new body that he will get right there. Does everybody understand? This is when he gets Christ's righteousness. Right there. He also, at that time, becomes a son. And he is born again. Does everybody understand? The key is that righteousness. All right. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him. Now watch. Not having mine own righteousness. We know our own righteousness in God's eyes are what? Filthy rags. Keep reading. Mine own righteousness, which is of the law,
But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith and no works. When I receive him as my Savior, I get his righteousness, he gets my filthy rags. Now listen,
only a fool would not take that deal. Only a fool.
All right, now, we got some more. Romans chapter 10. Now, most of the time, this is presented as the simple plan of salvation, and it is. But in light of what we have seen, now I want to read it to you. Now I want to see if you see things just a little bit different. Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. So what was the point? The point was they were trying to establish their good works to get them to God. And what does God say? No, that's filthy rags to me. Does everybody see?
No.
That's what you're reading. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Listen, if you're going to try to get to God by the law, you have to keep them all. You offend in one point, you're guilty of all of them. Is it possible for any human being to keep all the law and never break it? No. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, saith not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. I want Christ's righteousness. That is the death, burial, and resurrection, because he's the only one that's ever done it on his own. I know his. But what am I going to do with these filthy rags? Jesus comes along and he goes, I got this. He says, I'll take your filthy rags. You know that Bible says that Christ became sin for you and I. Not just carrying it like a bag or like a satchel or carrying it on your back. Nay, nay. He's becoming sin for me and you. He took all of my filthy rags and give me his righteousness. I became a son. I became born again. Let's keep reading. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? That's pretty simple, right? Simple. Not hard. My righteousness, no good. His righteousness, I need. All right. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 19. You know, I'm not even going to get to all these fine points. That's all right. All right, Revelation 19. Now, we read verse 8, right? All right, so a verse without a context is a pretext. Can you just jerk verses in and out and take them? No. You have to take them as they stand, where they stand, to whom they are given to. So now let's look. Ready? And how many of you are awake? You need to be awake right now. All right, verse 1. chapter 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord. That's what heaven's going to be like. This is what it's going to be like. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, there's Rome, which which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. That's where they are cutting their heads off. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Do you all get what's going on? Rome's burning, and what's heaven doing? What? That's what heaven's doing. Rome is burning. The Antichrist is going to go to the lake of fire. The false prophet's going to go to the lake of fire. The beast is going to the lake of fire. And what's heaven doing? What? You know what we do? Well, you know, man, we're gonna offend somebody. That ain't what they're doing in heaven. You say, well, how do you know? I just read it. Yeah, you know, and don't get mad at me because I didn't say it. All right, verse 4. The 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and what? Worship God that sat on the throne, saying, the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's what's going on in heaven. Now keep going. Let us be glad. Amen. Rejoice. Amen. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Here we go. The church today is the bride. Israel is God the Father's. Well, right now we're divorced. You know, anytime somebody picks at somebody that's been divorced, give them a hard time, and Baptists are about the worst. I'm here to tell you, they're just about, that is almost the unpardonable sin. So here's how you fix them. You ready? First time somebody gets after somebody and you're around and they start, oh, you know, God can't use them. They've been divorced. They can't be called to preach. They've been divorced. Nah, nah, nah. Look at them and go, well, isn't God divorced? And you watch it. What do you mean? Haven't you ever read the Bible prophets? The Lord divorced Israel. Israel was the wife. Right now they're divorced. But does he still love her?
Yeah.
When do they get remarried?
Right over here.
Now, back to the church. Right now, we're the bride. We go up at the rapture. We get a new body. First thing that happens, judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ is where your works are going to go through the fire. Not sin. Sin's judged here. Sin is not judged here. Your works. What you did for the Lord. Did you do it with the right attitude? Did you do it with the right heart? You know, did you put him first? That kind of stuff. All right. After the judgment seat of Christ, and this is 7 years, a little less than 7 years. So how long that takes, I don't know. But after that comes the marriage of the Lamb and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb is where the bride takes the groom, Jesus Christ, and they become one. That's here. Then comes the reception. You know, Laura's getting ready to get married, so, you know, we're going to have a wedding. You know, do you do yes? Do you do yes? Are you sure yes? Are you positive yes? Okay. You make his sobriety, blah, blah, blah. Then what happens after that? Reception. We go to the reception. What do you do at the reception? Eat, right? And have what?
Cake.
Cake. That's at the marriage supper. And then everybody does what? Then they leave. Well, yeah, that's the world. That's no good. No bad, bad, bad. All right, verse 8. And to her, the bride, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So what is the bride wearing at the marriage of the Lamb? Fine linen. Everybody see that? Well, okay, that's just for the marriage. Now let's keep reading. Verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren, that the testimony of Jesus worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What makes your Bible, how you can know that your King James Bible is the perfect word of God, is that it predicts prophecy and comes right every time. It is the only book out there. The Muslims ain't got no book like that. The Hindus ain't got no book like that. There's not another book on this earth that's like that. All right, let's keep going. All right, now you ready for this? Here we go. Verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, what did his eyes look like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Like a dove. That's right. They don't look like that no more. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, now that's you. If you're saved, this is you. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. So you're on a white horse, just like he is. Now watch what you're wearing. Clothed in what? Clean and white. So here we go. Da-da-da, da-da. We get done with the marriage supper. Mount up. And now you're on that white horse, and you're clothed in the fine linen of the righteousness of the saints. And right here is Armageddon. Now you don't have to worry. I had somebody tell me one time, said, I don't know, Lord Kaufman, I'm nervous. I'm not into violence. That's a good one. You don't have to be worried about violence. I said, the Lord's going to speak and they're just going to explode. I said, blow up that far. Now, I tell you, a sight to be seen is him in his white linen robe and blood probably up to about right here. I mean, that's going to be something to see. And here we come, right on. You know what kind of horses probably be? Probably an Arabian, probably. All right, now, everybody with me so far? You with me? No, am I over your head? But let me get over your head. You remember we started out with Adam and Eve, right? So Adam and Eve, they eat of the vine tree, and now they're naked. What's the first thing they do? Sew up together some fig leaves, right? We know that that represents man's works, right? Or man's righteousness, whatever you want to call it. Yes? Okay. Now the Lord shows up, and what does he do? And he says, this ain't good enough. And what happens then? Well, he kills a lamb. Right in front of him. And then he skins it right in front of him. Now, I don't know how he did it so fast, but, you know, he's God. And he took that skin, that lamb's skin, and he covered Adam and Eve. Is that right? Without the shedding of blood, there is no what? So blood was shed. Watch this. Something died. The blood was shed.
and he gave his life. If Adam would not have eaten of that vine tree, but he would have eaten of the tree of life, God the Father would have given him a robe of righteousness, which would have come from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are getting, and it's made right, what Adam fouled up. Do you get it?
What?
We get it. So do I need to go over that again?
No.
All right, now, from Matthew chapter 1 to Matthew chapter 28 is how long?
3 years.
3.5 years. How many of you have ever wondered how long it was from the creation of Adam to the fall? Now, I can't prove this. It's just what I think. I think it's 3.5 years. Because isn't it funny how all this stuff matches? Does everybody see that? Mm-hmm. It all matches. Now, let's go one more, maybe two, and I'm done. Colossians chapter 2. Well, I'd sure like to see what Paul has to say. Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to find out. And now be done. Colossians chapter 2. Rags to riches. You ready? Verse 1, 1 to 6. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in full in love unto the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now watch. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what? So walk in him. So just like you trusting Christ as your Savior, simply by faith, you and I are going to live this life simply by walking by faith trusting you. That's exactly how you got saved. And this is how you're going to live for him. And you know what we're going to look forward to? We're going to look forward to all of this. You know what I'm not looking for? I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. Yes, I see all the garbage going on, but that's not what I'm looking for. You wait until you get your new and your very beautiful new robe. That's fine linen. That is clean and white. And we get to choose. We can choose the rags of our own self-righteousness, or we can choose the riches of Jesus Christ. That's the choice. You say, well, I've chosen Christ. Great. Now, just like getting saved, not that you get saved over and over, just like how you did, now you're going to walk by faith with him. Look for this. Let's bow our heads. Seb, everybody's heads are bowed now and everybody's eyes are closed.
I'd like to just have Paul come and play softly for a minute. This morning, and my desire is to encourage you. Is to get our affection set on things above and not on things on the earth. We become worldly minded. We become encumbered with the things of this old life. You trusted Christ as your Savior, you have His righteousness. And one of these days, you're going to get you a brand new body. And then God the Father is going to take a robe of righteousness that is fine twined linen. He's going to look at you and say, "Son, here is the very best robe." And then on that horse we go. And all the things of this old life, the heartaches, the trials, the troubles, the struggles, as the song goes, will seem so small. The very best road. Clothed in His righteousness. You see, in heaven, there won't be none of this "I'm taking credit" stuff. It'll be all Him. We sing the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." My prayer this morning is that's what we would do. My desire this morning is that we would set our affections on things above. And I hope for a few minutes you've been able to focus on Jesus Christ and just let the world go by its way. Because it will be worth it all. The riches are untold. The Apostle Paul talks about the mysteries, those seven mysteries I've taught you about. He calls them the riches of Christ. This new robe is one of those riches. From rags to riches, we get to choose. We can take this message to a lost and a dying world and tell them about the riches of Christ. All right, Father, thank you for the day you've given us, for your words, for preserving them for us, Lord, that we might be excited about all, Lord, that you have done. Lord, we look at ourselves and realize the filthiness, Lord, of our sin and of our righteousness. But thank you so very much for Christ and His righteousness. Thank you for coming this old world and dying for us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to receive Christ as our Savior. I ask, Lord, this morning that you might help us to turn our eyes to you, to set our affections on things above. Lord, that we might be heavenly minded and not so worldly minded. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. All right, Zoom world, we love you. See, did I miss anybody? I got Vance and Andrea, Ida, Marianne, Becky, Shiloh, Nancy. Hello, hello, hello. Be back tonight, 5 o'clock. We love you. If anybody needs me, holler. Bye-bye.